sixth chapter, and tonight portion having to do with the murder of John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said concerning John that there's no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. So, by Jesus' own testimony, John the Baptist was an outstanding preacher. His life was in many ways tragic. He started out, of course, a rough man, lived in the wilderness, came forth from Jordan preaching repentance, and for a time gathered huge crowds, and people basked in his light, and he basked in the light of popularity and acceptance. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. It's an awful lot harder to decrease than it is to increase and be spiritual and stay steady. You know, prosperity is pretty easy. When things are prospering, when things are growing, whenever the crowd's there and everything's just going great and everything is wonderful, well, it's pretty easy to be enthused, to be excited, to be thrilled, to be think everything's great and everything's wonderful. But then in John the Baptist's life, in order for Jesus, who was coming on the scene, in order for him to be seen, in order for him to have the crowds, in order for him to be the one, the star, John the Baptist had to decrease. His star had to recede. His light had to dim, while the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, his light increased. And we have that in that picture in John. I think one of the great qualities that Jesus was talking about. John the Baptist said himself, he must increase and I must decrease. He knew that. He realized that. He was willing to submit to that. He was willing to let the Lord Jesus Christ get the glory, get the honor, get the praise, get the recognition, get the reception, while he got less and less, and finally ended up in prison, and finally ended up murdered. A faithful man who preached fearlessly, and yet ended up like that. You see, there's a thinking that goes on in the world today that if you are a faithful Christian and if you follow the Lord, then you're going to have prosperity and success. Oh, there may be rough times, there may be difficult times, but everything's going to come out all right in the end. And I'm talking about as far as this life is concerned, and as far as your life is concerned. But many times some of God's faithful servants suffer greatly in this world, lie upon beds of affliction, suffer situations that are hard to understand, have to live with them. But that's what John the Baptist had to do. Ended up in prison. Now, while he was in prison, there came a season of doubt, even in this great man, John the Baptist. And he said to his disciples, go to Jesus and ask him this question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus didn't answer that question. He didn't say yes or no. He said, go back and tell John what you see happening. The lame made to walk, the blind are made to see, the sick are healed, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Go back and tell him that. Now, you see, that was the evidence of the Savior. That was the evidence of the Messiah. doing those things. Those were the promised things. Those were the things that everybody else should have seen and said, this is the Messiah. Okay. The Holy Spirit bore witness to him. The Father bore witness to him. His works bore witness to him. And they should have seen and known that this was the Messiah, the Savior. And so what Jesus simply did to John was kind of reminded him what kind of things that were taking place. And of course, John knew what signs there were or what things there were that the Messiah would do. And then finally, this account as to how it all ended. Now, there are three characters in this passage, and there's Herodias and Herod. Well, there are more than three because of Salome, but three major characters. And Herodias, Herod, and John the Baptist. And we want to notice three things. We want to notice the wickedness of Herodias as we go through this passage. We want to notice the weakness of Herod, and then the worth of John, the value, the testimony. All right, King Herod, we're verse 14, chapter 6 of Mark. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he, that is, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her, and John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel with him, and would have killed him, but she could not. Now we read, by the way, in Matthew, that she could not because of the multitude. Herod was planning to do it because she wanted it done, but they were afraid of the multitude because John was looked upon very highly. So that's why political reasons stood in the way, the people. Verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and asked her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by, or straightway, immediately. That's a phrase that has changed over the years. By and by, an old English phrase that used to mean now, right now. But now we talk about the by and by as something future, and the sweet by and by, and so forth. But the word is straightway, immediately. One of the words, you remember, of Mark that he uses so much. Give me straightway in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his own sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, and brought his head in a charger, that is, in a platter, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, the wickedness of Herodias. You know, there are several Herods in the scripture, and I have to, every time I run across one to refresh my memory, I have to go back and check up on it. This Herod is the son of Herod the Great, and the half-brother, he had a half-brother, Philip. Now, this is not Philip the Tetrarch that's mentioned later on, who, by the way, Salome ended up marrying, the girl in the story. But this is one of Herod the Great's sons, and who, by the way, he never did get to be the king that he wanted to be. He was given a part of the kingdom in his father's will. Originally, he was given the kingdom, but then in the process of meeting out that will and so forth, he didn't get all he was supposed to get. And sometime later, he went to Rome with Herodias to try to get the crown. But Philip the Tetrarch sent a message behind him saying that he was a traitor. And so when he got there, they sent him off into exile, where he lived until he died, Herodias with him. So he didn't get all that he had hoped for out of the kingdom, but he was a powerful man, and the responsibilities, the section of Galilee and so forth that he ruled. But Herodias was Philip's wife, and Philip and Herod were sent to Rome, and there is where they studied. This was earlier in their life, and Philip at that time was married to Herodias, and Herod came to live with Philip and Herodias, and in the process, and he of course was married as well, but in the process of the time there, he took a liking to Herodias and put away his first wife, and she divorced Philip and or left him, divorced him, whatever, and married Herod. So this, of course, was forbidden under Jewish law, and so John the Baptist preached against it, told him that it was not proper, it was wrong, and that he shouldn't have her. And so we see Herodias was a very, well, we'd say a masculine woman. She was very headstrong. And she led Herod around. She just controlled him. This, not only in this instant, but according to history, and secular history tells us about this situation. And so when John the Baptist preached against this adulterous marriage, she didn't like the preacher and set out to have him killed. It was Herodias who wanted him put in prison. Says, get him and shut him up. Herod went and got him, shut him up. It was Herodias who said, kill him. And Herod planned to kill him. But the multitude stopped him, or he was afraid of the multitude. But that didn't stop Herodias. And we read in the account in Matthew, at verse 8, in Matthew chapter 14, in this same account, it says, when Herod had promised Salome the whatever it was she wanted, in verse 8 in that passage, it says, and she being before instructed of her mother. So, the instruction to ask for the head of John the Baptist had been given before she ever danced. In other words, this was a plot to get John the Baptist. The whole thing. She schemed and she planned. Boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing meaner than a mean woman this side of hell. That's what Dr. Bob Senior used to say. Nothing meaner this side of hell than a mean woman, and nothing sweeter this side of heaven than a sweet one, a good one, a righteous one. But you get a woman who is set on power and having what she wants and getting what she wants, and I'll tell you, there's nobody that can scheme and plan and work and get, even if it takes weeks, months, years to do it, to get what they want. To get what they want. And some women work at it for years to do it. Okay? And behind the scenes, pulling the strings, not obvious and open, but working it back there all the time, getting what they want, doing what they want. Who else does this remind you of? In the Old Testament. Jezebel and Ahab. Remember how she worked him? Oh, she'd get him what he wanted. If he wanted Naboth's vineyard, she'd get it for him. Oh, yes, honey, I'll look after you. I'll take care of you. I'll get you anything. Yes, honey. But all the time using him to get what she wanted and to become the most wicked character of the Bible. And Herodias runs her close second. They would have made good friends. I don't know which one would have won out if they had lived in the same time to win the award for the most wicked woman of the Bible. But notice that when the daughter got the head, can you imagine this? You know, then she takes it to her mother. Now, it doesn't say that her mother rejected it either. Whatever became of it and whatever the end of it was, we have no way of knowing. It says that the disciples came and took his body and corpse and buried it. But think of this Salome, bad enough, the daughter. But the mother, of course, planted. Now, of course, this daughter was her daughter by Philip and was not the daughter of Herod. Now, we see in this a weak man, Herod. Now, he's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to be the power. He's supposed to be the one administering justice. He's supposed to be the one that's doing right. But, he has an inclination that way. He likes John. He listens to John. He gets interested in what John has to say. He even does a lot of things. Boy, you know, like cleaning up his life and probably quitting smoking and and whatever else, you know, a few other things. I don't know what all the things he might have done. Whatever the things were that they did in those days whenever they, you know, wanted to show how religious they'd become, you know. So he did that. And he listened to John. And he tried to be a believer, see? But, you see, he's all mixed up. He's got a little heathen religion. He's thinking here that Jesus is nothing more than John come back from the dead. You know, in other words, he's come back. He killed him, but he's powerful enough to come back. Of course, you see, he's not straight in his doctrine. He's not straight in his understanding of Scripture. He's not straight in all those things. He's confused. Religion. He's got all kind of religion mixed in with this thing and witchcraft and things of that nature. All mixed in and confused. This man, Herod, observed him, says he heard him. He heard him gladly and did many things. And he would have, on his basis, if he'd have, you know, done what he'd like to done, I suppose that John the Baptist would have eventually been allowed to be turned loose and to go free. But Herodias is the one now that's sitting on this thing and said, no way, no way is that bird getting away with this. I mean, it's not going to happen. That's the thing, you see, that we have another woman in the Bible, that Drusilla, you remember. When Felix trembled, have no mention of her trembling. When he was taken with a message of Paul, not Drusilla. See, over and over in the Bible, many times that is in the Bible, we have this picture of the wicked woman. And she is the picture, okay, of the harlot of the book of Revelation, who is a picture of religion. And there's nothing more rotten, nothing more corrupt, nothing more deadly, nothing more wicked, nothing more cruel than religion. It takes, it seems, that women, when they are wicked, when they are slanted in that way, they go much further in that direction. And this is, of course, we see this many times in Scripture. And not that there aren't plenty of wicked men, but we've seen this comparison many times in Scripture. But Herod, he wants to have a birthday party. And he wants to be honored. And he wants to have all his friends come and, you know, bring him presents. And recognize him as a great king, all that, you know. And he's going to entertain them and feed them good, have a big party. And so I imagine Herodias said, why don't let our daughter dance? You know, she's pretty good. She's been going to school now for a good bit. And they, you know, her instructors and everybody says she's great. Why not have her dance? Now listen, those dances, folks, were not little parlor dances that, you know, that you'd want your children to see and be around. We're talking about lewd, immoral, sensuous dancing. See? And so she goes out there and she just dances and shows herself and displays her dance before all these men, and they're taken with that. Their eyes of lust, along with Herod's. And so he says, just ask me anything, anything. He lost his sense of perspective. This thing about weak people, whenever they don't have character, when they don't stand in area. See, he wouldn't have done this on a normal, but pride and inflated ego and all this situation. And in this kind of situation, whatever you want to the half of the kingdom. And boy, he fell right into Herodias' trap. She knew what happened. She knew what he'd do. She knew this man. Weak Herod. His pride got the best of him. And for his oath's sake, he was sorry himself. He really hated to have this done. But for his oath's sake, and for those that were with him, he couldn't afford to show up bad before all those. He would not reject her. Now, we've already spoken of John. He preached faithfully the Word of God, preached against sin. He didn't. John's the kind of fellow that didn't pick them, as we say. Whoever it was, whether it's the king, body else, he told them what the sin was, what the problem was. And so John faithfully preached and died a martyr's death. But you know, really, his ministry, of course, was complete. He had done what he had been sent to do. He came to prepare the way, you know. He came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And once he had done that, then he began to fade into the background. Jesus began to be the one, and that he understood that, and he was willing to take that position. He was willing to humble himself and let the Lord Jesus Christ get the glory and the honor. And so he goes down in history as one of the greats. Jesus said, no man, no greater born of woman. Now, it's going to be wonderful, isn't it, when we get to heaven to see John the Baptist. He'll be back together. You heard who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again? Well, I tell you, who can put John the Baptist back together again is the Lord. And he'll be back together. And it'll be wonderful to see him, to sit and hear him, and say, what a man. What a man. What a calling he had. What an opportunity he had. What a great man he was. And yet, his greatness was in his ability to be little so Jesus could be big. If we could learn that lesson, if we could learn that lesson, to be little so Jesus can be big,